Welcome to the anointed teaching and preaching at Arena of Life Church and Ty Jones Ministry. We believe that you'll be blessed by this message you're about to hear.
If you have your Bibles this morning, if you'd open them to John chapter 9, we're going to start in verse 1. Am I okay? Do I have any callers popping up anywhere or anything like that? I do. Am I good? I usually have my pretty lady here to help me out. She's like guiding me. I'll go to my other pretty lady. How about you, Mom? Do I have anything sticking out anywhere? Do I have any tails or? All right, that's okay. Not that I'm worried what y'all think, but I just want to make sure I'm not a distraction to you because I don't need any help with distractions. Those of you that know me, I don't want to see any squirrels during this service. And I don't want you to see any either as well. John chapter 9, we're going to start in verse 1. It says this, "Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. Verse 4, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva. He anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. He said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Therefore, the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, is not this he who sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. He said, I am he. Therefore, they said to him, how were your eyes open? He answered and said, a man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and I received my sight. God, I thank you for the written scripture today. I thank you, Lord, that it cuts out the garbage of our life and, Lord, renews our strength. Lord, I pray that you would direct my steps this morning, that I would hear your voice and the voice of a stranger I will and shall not follow. God, I pray right now that you would use me at your discretion. And Lord, you know the needs. You know the things that are in this room that are represented of hurts and desires and, Lord, wants. And Lord, you also know our needs. And so, Lord, I pray today through your written word that you would open eyes to see and ears to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I'm thankful to be here with you. I'm always honored to be behind this pulpit, behind our great pastor, Pastor Ty. And if you're here for the very first time, I want to encourage you to be here next Sunday. I believe it'll be a great word, as it always is. We've been talking about, in fact, this message that I'm going to speak to you this morning was inspired by last week's teaching that Pastor did on Galatians chapter 5. How many of y'all were here for that when he talked about the fruits of the Spirit? And he offered this to me for me to come up and sing that song. I gladly declined. But since I have the mic this morning, I may just sing it to you if you'd like. And actually, my dad probably should come up here and sing this with me. I'm not going to ask him to. But this is a song that I learned as a kid. And, you know, you've all heard the song, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. You know, it's amazing. I'm going to encourage you, those of you that have been on Wednesday night teachings, I've said this many times before, but I would encourage you, if you really want to learn a scripture, get an old tune. It even can be some old honky-tonk that you've learned in the past. Put some scripture to it, and you'll start learning scripture. It's something about the things that you listen to over and over and over. I mean, 50 Cent can come on, and I hadn't listened to 50 Cent for 20 years, but it comes on, and I know all the words, Joe. It's terrible. But all those years of listening to that, it stuck with me. The Word of God will do the same thing with you. Don't say that you can't learn Scripture. Don't say that you're too dumb to learn Scripture. I believe if you can learn Cadillacs by, what's his name, Dwight Yoakam, you can learn John 3:16, or you can learn Philippians 4:13. Can I get an amen, somebody? You can learn those things, get rid of the flesh, and just bring in the Spirit. Amen? And so he was talking about fruits, and it's amazing he talked about the orange and how the fruit, and you can't have one without the other. In fact, I've learned this in my own life, looking at the fruits of the Spirit. Oh, I was going to sing the song. See, I already started off with a squirrel here. I'm going to sing the song to you, all right? It goes like this. Orange, you glad you love Jesus. Orange, you glad he loves you. He's a peach, a king savior now. I'd rather be blueberry blue. His power makes me bananas. He's the apple of my eye. It's a pear, and Lee clear in his word. He's raising us when he dies. Took me out of the pit of hell. And I'm plumb happy to be the son of a grapefruit God. I got the fruits of my tree. Got the fruit of the spirit. Come on, let's hear. We got love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Meekness and temperance. Yeah! How'd y'all like that this morning? And so one of the things that I've learned, Levi, about the fruits of the Spirit, as I study the Word of God, I notice this in my own life. I notice if I don't have love, it's hard for me to have joy. So you got to start the puzzle off you got to start off right. Those of you dads, at Christmas time is coming up, it's very important that you read the first step first. Because if you don't read the first step, you ain't going to get the second step. And you have 450,000 pieces to put this playhouse together for your granddaughter, Chad, that she really wants. And so you go through all the steps, and if you just go off of the picture, you're not going to get it done. And so you got to go through step one. And the Bible says in Galatians 5:22, the first fruit of the Spirit is love. And I've learned this. If I don't have love, I do not have joy. Amen? Have you seen anybody that's walking in fear or walking in hate and mad all the time be joyful? No, they're going to be a sourpuss, just like them walking in this fear and walking in this hate. So you got to have love. And it's amazing, as Pastor talked last week, that was a great analogy. He had all the pieces of the orange on the inside of there. The fruit of the Spirit is the whole thing. It's love. It's joy. It's peace. It's long-suffering. And it's amazing to me, as I begin to walk in love, it's easy for me to walk in joy. And as I walk in joy, the only response to God's presence and activity in my life, it's easy for me to have peace in my life. After I have peace, I have long-suffering, and I don't have just now one piece of the puzzle. I have the whole piece of the puzzle, because God, that's the way He formed it, and that's the way God made it. And so I want to encourage you, go back to listen to Pastor Ty's teaching last week on have the whole fruit of the Spirit on the inside of you. But as I was sitting here and I was listening to that message, God began to put some things on the inside of me. Because not just with that scripture, but there's a cycle that God does from the very beginning of Genesis chapter 1 all the way to the end of Revelations. There's a cycle that God does, and even people on this earth do, whether we know it or not, it's the same thing over and over. God does this. God forms, and He fills what He forms, and then that person begins to function off of the filling that God gives them. We do it in construction. In fact, I just came back from Las Vegas. I was at the National Finals Rodeo the last couple of days with our pastors, Ty and Luann. And you know, it's amazing. Just like we have construction going on here in Amarillo, Texas, how many of y'all, let me see a show of hands, you are thankful for the construction going on here? Isn't it terrible? It's ridiculous. I mean, we don't live in Houston, Texas. This is so stupid. It shouldn't take me 30 minutes to get to the church, but it does all the time. Because, you know what my uncle told me? He told me this. He said that he truly believes that the owners of the construction company, their wives were shopping, and there was a sale on orange cones, and they have nowhere to place them, so they just keep putting them out all over Amarillo, Texas. Because you got 25 guys, and no one's doing anything, and you're like, what in the world? This is terrible. This is Amarillo. This is not, you know, the metropolitan of Dallas, Texas. And if you're in here and you're that worker, I'm sorry if I made fun of you, but get to work. Do something. Make it look like we're making something accomplished here, all right? So if I offended you, please text your offense to Pastor Robert. His number is 806. Just kidding. Sorry, Pat. I always pick on you. I know how to do that. I know it. Actually, it's Pastor Robert at arenaoflifechurch.org. But anyways, I just want to encourage you guys this morning. And looking at this, like the construction that we have here, we have construction in Vegas. In fact, Pastor Ty, he's already a little crazy for him to be in a little compact car that we rented to get around the town. And he is like there's like a spirit of aggressiveness that comes over him as he's driving in Las Vegas, Nevada. And so there were several times we were out at this outlet mall, and there's construction everywhere, and he's following this truck. He's honking at the truck, get out of the way, and all this different stuff. We follow this truck, and it goes into construction zone, and all these guys are going, no, you know. And Brandy's in the back seat. She's laughing so hard. He's going, I mean, it's super intense. Like, we're like, oh, man, should I laugh? Should I not? And then we're on our way back from the rodeo one particular night, and it was that evening. And Pastor was in the turning lane. He needed to be in a lane over here. And he guns it, and he nearly hits the median. We're grabbing the handles. You know what they're called. No, can't say it because Pastor's in the car. No. Anyways, freaking out. I'm telling you, but construction, it's nuts. It's wild. It messes up our lives sometimes. But one of the things that looking at, they're building these, and if you've ever been to Vegas before, you see the casinos and you see those hotels. It's hard for me. I was talking to my dad last night. It's hard for me to even describe to you if you've never been there before. It is absolutely humongous how big those. I mean, looking at Caesar's Palace, you're like, this is amazing. This is absolutely spectacular what's happening right now. But one of the things, just like they do in Vegas, just like they're doing here in Amarillo, Texas, there's a cycle that God had started from the very beginning, and whether we know it or not, us as human beings, we do the same exact thing. We form things. Just like they're forming the cement that they're going to build them huge buildings on, they have to form. They have to go way, 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 way down to correct the surface of the earth so they can provide structure for that big building that's going up. And so they begin to form the ground. And after they form the ground, they come in with cement and they fill it full of cement. They fill it with things, just like your house. You build the house, you build it from the bottom up, and then you fill it with furniture. You fill it with people. You fill it with the things that you have. And then after you fill it, what happens? It begins to function. Looking at these sites there in Vegas, whether it's here in Amarillo, Texas, we always see this. And even in your own life, if you look back over your life and even in your life right now, you're going through a forming stage. God's forming you. God's shaping you. God's providing a place in your life to get you ready for the next step of your life. But if you're not just formed, you need to go to a place now that you begin to be filled. And then after you get filled, whether it's full of at a job, they're forming you for a new position where you're supposed to walk into. But and then they begin to fill you full of knowledge. They begin to fill you with the right tools, the right assets that you can go to the next step. And then it's important that you make the next step and you begin to function. I want you to see this as I begin to talk about today to you about forming, filling, and functioning as the body of Christ. I want you to see this. It's very important that you understand this. You are formed. And as you're in the forming stage of your life, you need to realize that there may be some things that you may not necessarily understand, but God's getting ready to pour something into your life by the Spirit of God. Amen. And it may not be the place that you like to be, but it's the place that you need to be. And as you begin to get filled, God asks you to function. The first two God does, the third one you do on your own. And that gets me to a point before we go anywhere else. As you begin to function in the body of Christ, you can't function for other people and for other people's needs. What you need to function is because God called you to function. Once you do it for man's status, you mess it up because God got you to the place where you are there. And as you begin to do it for him, you'll function the way God designed you to function. Your family will function the way it's designed to function because God is the center point of your life. And looking at forming, I was thinking of this. I think the best way that we can describe this, talking about forming this morning, if you have your Bibles, open them up to Jeremiah chapter 18. And this is a great, great passage of scripture, the whole book of Jeremiah. And if you've never read it before, I would encourage you to go there because there's lots of things that happens in this man, this prophet Jeremiah's life. In fact, lots of us, maybe you have it up inside of your house. Jeremiah 29:11. I know the thoughts that I think for you, says the Lord. Thoughts of plan of good and not of evil, to give you a future and to give you a hope. How many of y'all have heard that before? Now, 11 chapters before in Jeremiah 18, this is where we're going to go. And it says this. He says in verse 2, go down to the potter's house. God's talking to Jeremiah. And he says, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hand, so the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. When the word of the Lord came to me, he said, can I not do with you, Israel, as this potter does? Declares the Lord, like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, Israel. What's he doing here? He tells Jeremiah the prophet, he says, I want you to go down to the potter's house, and I'm going to show you, in fact, I'm going to declare to you something that I've already told you. In fact, we're going to talk about that here in a minute. But what does talking about the word forming, what is forming? You know, lots of you know this, but I've shod horses for many years. And you know, there are some horses that are brought to me that I've done before, And there's not much shape that I need to do at the amble. So I trim the foot. I see what size shoe this horse wears. I get that shoe. I go to the amble and I begin to shape it. I begin to mold it. I begin to form it to fit this horse. I don't take a shoe out of the box and take it up to the horse and just make it fit. I form the shoe. I shape the shoe. And you know, there's so many different testimonies that are represented inside of this room. When you came to Christ, it was absolutely mind-changing, spirit-changing, heart-changing. Can I get an amen, somebody? You absolutely was 2 Corinthians 5:17. You are now a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, everything has become brand new. You grew up in the most dysfunctional place, around the most dysfunctional people. And then you got in the body of Christ and you begin to see them function the way it's supposed to function. You begin to have these things called love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. So there was huge shaping that was formed in your life. God was forming you. God was shaping you into who you're supposed to be. You know, this happens, like I said, we do it today, and whether we know it or not, this is a cycle that God does in our life. In fact, go to Genesis chapter 1. It says this in verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was out form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light. And then we read on down, encourage you to do that. Genesis chapter 1, he said, let there be land, let there be trees. And God said, let there be the air that we breathe. And God said, let there be. But when it came to man, he said, and God said, let me make him in the image of me. You know, everything else God said and he spoke into existence. But when it came to you and me, he touched it. He spoke everything else. But when it came to you and me, what did he do? He touched it. And that's something that a lot of you are even longing for to this day, even myself, is touching. You know my little boy, Ketch, he's such a good-looking little toot. And one thing about Ketch, what I always want to do, I always just want to pick him up. He's almost edible. He's so cute. I know he's my son, but I'm just going to tell you, I just love to pick him up. But you know what science tells us? Even as a little baby comes out of the womb, its first longing is to be touched by its mother. You know what touching does? You can study it in science, but it sends a sensory in our pituitary gland that helps us grow. And so looking at that from the very beginning of time, Jesus or God spoke all everything else that you see around me into existence. But when it came to you and me, he touched it. And that's why you long to be touched even to this day, because God first, he touched you. Oh, he touched me. Amen. He touches us. And looking back from the beginning of time, proving my point of forming, what's it say? It says that he formed man from the dust of the ground. That means he knew the container before he put the context on the inside of it. He formed the container before he put what was going to be valuable. He formed the container and then he breathes his content into us. And so looking at Jeremiah, I want you to see this. Jeremiah chapter 18, he said, go down to the potter's house and I'm going to show you. See, I'm shaping you. I'm forming you. There's some things in your life that I don't necessarily like anymore. There's some things in your life that may you have learned it as a child and you've been trained to do a specific way, but I want you to see something. I'm now forming you. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 that the word of God is like a sword and that it begins to cut things out of our life. Not Hebrews 12, 1, Hebrews 12, 4, it's, or 4, 12. It begins to cut those things out of our life. How many of y'all know when you came to Christ, there was things that God began to just cut off of you? He began to break those shackles, those chains. Come on, can I get an amen, somebody? Come on, thank the Lord for what he's done in your life, amen? And so he begins to cut those things. What is he doing? He's forming you. And I want you to see something in Jeremiah. This is the way it starts off the whole chapter. It says in Jeremiah 1:5, he says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. So when he takes him to the potter's house that we see in Jeremiah chapter 18, he's reaffirming to him and he's showing him visually what he had already told him. I formed you. Before I formed you, I knew you. Before I made your box, I knew your content. I blew into you what I had already formed, and you became what I said. I want you to think about this being in the Christmas holiday. The Virgin Mary, look at this. The angel comes to Mary. You can find this in Luke chapter 1. But he comes to Mary and he says, you've been formed to be filled with the Son. Stop everything. He says, before man touches you, I'm going to touch you. That's the miracle of Jesus. That's the miracle of Jesus. Before man touches you, I'm going to touch you. And the Bible says this, the Holy Ghost came upon Mary and there was conception. Pastor talked about this last week. I never thought of this before, but the word conception, you break it down to the next word. It's what? Concept. He was an idea. And that idea became flesh. That's backing up in Jeremiah chapter 1. Before I formed you, I knew you. You were a concept in my mind. Before there was conception in your mother's womb, the idea was made flesh and he dwelled among us. How many of y'all believe that this morning, that God forms you? God's forming you right now. How does he form you? How many of y'all have been through that forming stage? You're like, God, why is this happening? Lordy. All right, go to the other person, not to me. Go to Mark, not to me. I've had enough forming at the time. There's some things he's cutting out. What is he doing? You know, when you first become saved, it's like in your relationships. The Bible says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. That even means family. That means people that you adore dearly. But there comes a time in your life where God needs to shape you into the man or the woman God's called you to be. Doesn't mean you throw your family out. God's called you to reach your family. But doing those things that you used to do with your family, you no longer do it anymore. God's shaping you. God's forming you. God's putting you at a place right where you need to be. He begins to change your morals. He begins to change your character. He's shaping you. I want you to look at David. Pastor preached on David Wednesday night. I wasn't here. He shared with me a little bit out. But I want you to see something. God was forming him when he killed the lion and he killed the bear. If he didn't kill the lion, he didn't kill the bear, he wouldn't have killed the giant. He would have found somebody else to do it, but God was forming him. You know, we look at the passage of scripture of Joseph, how his brothers sell him into slavery. I know there's times where I've thought I wanted to sell my brothers into slavery, but I didn't do it. He come back and say, Dad, I don't know where he is. Here's his jacket. But you know, all these things, how he goes into the palace, he goes into the prison. If you've never read it, I encourage you to read the end of Genesis, chapter 37. It's amazing the things that goes through Joseph's life. But all this time, as I look now and I see from the very beginning of time, God is doing something in his life. He's shaping him. He's shaping him to be at the place where he needs him to be. You may be at a place in your life right now where God's shaping you. You're at the potter's hand. You're at the potter's house. And he's beginning to shape you. You're at the anvil. And whether you know it or not, you don't like the things that are changing inside of your life. But God's going to raise you up to be at the place where you need to be. Look at David's life. So then he kills the lion, bear, he kills the giant. Now he's playing the harp. He's not the king yet, but what's God do? He is shaping him to the place he needs to be. Look at the life of Joshua. He didn't just go out and march around Jericho 6 times. He was being shaped by his mentor named Moses. He went with him everywhere that he went. Look at the life of Elisha. He was behind a plow. God was shaping him, whether he knew it or not. He was not in ministry yet, but God was molding him. God was preparing him. God was forming him into the man he was supposed to be. You know, all throughout scripture and all throughout time, even in things in your life, you can, if you take some time and you look at this, God is forming you even to this day. Give the Lord hand for forming us, whether we like it or not. Amen. God fills up what he has formed. Why, this is why I'm saying all this about forming. It says he forms us to fill us. He formed the man and filled it with breath or with life. Whenever we see God start forming, something that we always should know is this: he's about to fill it. So if you're at a place in your life where God's forming you, I want to give you an encouraging word this morning. God's about to fill you, and he may be filling you even right now as we speak. The next thing is this, is filling. We look at the book of Acts. In fact, I was thinking about a great analogy for this. God showed me several different ones. But as pastor's been talking about the Holy Spirit, I found it fitting that every person, if you've came to know Christ, if you've accepted the Lord as your salvation, it's very important that you take the next step and you get filled with the Holy Ghost. It'll take the chicken out of you. It really will. There's a skit that Dad used to do right here on the front row. There's a skit that my parents used to do as they were children's pastor for many years. A guy gets filled with the Spirit and he pulled this rubber chicken out of him. You know, it's amazing. When you get filled, the Bible says the wicked flee when no man pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. And what happens is when you get filled with the Spirit of God, you're no longer scared to share the love of Jesus with somebody else, because the Spirit of God will give you boldness. It will give you the right words to say. It will give you the right time at the right place to be filled with Him. Amen? And so looking at this, I was thinking the book of Acts is the best place to go. Because when I think of the book of Acts, I think this: people begin to function as a result of being filled with the Spirit of God. People are functioning as a result of the filling of the Spirit of God. So in Acts chapter 2 and verse 5, I would encourage you to read all of Acts, but I'm just going to read something in verse 14, Acts 2:14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last day, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see vision. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servant and on my maidservants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy." That's the time and day that we live in. God wants to fill you with His Spirit. Peter stood up because he was filled with the Spirit of God. Now, this is the same Peter. Let's back up a little bit. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and all four of them, he does the same thing. But this is the same Peter that he comes to him and says, "Hey, you're fishing all wrong." Peter's like, "Okay, it's your word." He throws out there. He catches a lot of fish, overflows. He gives it into other boats. And the Bible says he begins to follow Jesus everywhere that he went. But when it came time to Jesus to die, Jesus tells him, all right? I've always thought of it like this. It'd be like us playing a game of hoop, Kenneth. And I would say this. I would say, "You know what? I'm going to go right. I'm going to go left. And then I'm going to dunk on you." And then I do it. That's even worse. I probably would on you, just to verify that. But here's the deal. Jesus calls it out. He says, "Hey, you're going to deny me three times." And the fact that he does it, it's even worse. And two times is from a little girl with pigtails, freckles on her face. I made that part up, but I'm pretty sure that it happened like that. Just some innocent little girl says, "Aren't you the one that knew Jesus?" He said, "No, I never knew him." He denies him three times. It's the same one that after Jesus had died, that the Bible says this: he goes back to fishing. He goes back to his old life. It's the same Peter. But what's the difference in the Peter now? The Peter before, he was being formed. But the Peter now, he's been filled. He's filled with the Spirit of God. And it's amazing the difference that will come upon your life when you get filled with the Spirit of God. There's changes that begin to happen inside of your life. You don't think the same way. You don't do the same things. When Peter got filled, it changed his personality altogether. Listen, Peter was dysfunctional. He didn't like his mother-in-law. Who cuts off people's ears? Right? He had a very bad upbringing. But it was until God was forming him that whole time. He was walking with Jesus. Jesus was forming him. And then he came to a place in his life where God began to fill him. I want to encourage you to read Ezekiel chapter 37. In fact, write that down. Go back and read. If you've never read this passage of scripture before, but the Bible's talking about a man named Ezekiel. He was a prophet, and he's talking to the Lord. And he's walking through this valley of dry bones. He's walking through all these different things, and God tells him this. He has this crazy question: could these dry bones come up, can breathe in life? And he said, "Prophesy to these bones." What's God do? He breathes. He breathes. He breathes his spirit. He'd already formed the bones, but he breathed his spirit into those bones. And they get up, and the Bible says they were a vast army. You see dry bones, but we see an army. You see dry bones. The world sees dry bones, but God sees an army. He breathed his spirit into those dry bones that he had already formed. And they begin to walk and move. They begin to be a vast army. That's what God's doing in your life right now. He's filling something on the inside of you. An army is rising up on the inside of you. Now that you're filled, here's the last step that I want to share with you this morning. It's only going to take me one more hour to share this one with you. Hey, very good. An hour it is, all right? The third one is this. Leo, I won't keep you for an hour. I'll let you go to Furs by at least 12:45. The third one is this, function. He forms us, he begins to fill us, and now we begin to function. I believe this by the Spirit of God. There's people in here that's even been spoke over your life that you are dysfunctional. But I believe by the power of God and the words that are coming out of my mouth, that through this, something will rise up on the inside of you and you'll begin to function the way God's designed you to function. You'll no longer be broke. You'll no longer be the expectation of a wife that people have put on you. You'll no longer be the parent that the world has portrayed you to be, but you'll begin to function because you're filled with the Spirit of God. The New Testament is a great way to look at this, talking about function, because the New Testament, the body of Christ, begins to function. How many of y'all believe, I can't stand things that are broke. I mean, if it's broke, throw it away. That's what we do at our house. I mean, there comes a time where you try to fix it, and then you get mad, and you just buy a new one, all right? That's what happens with me anyway sometimes. I try to fix things as much as I can, but how many of y'all, let me see a show of hands. How many of y'all don't like things that are broke? I do not like things that are broke. I don't enjoy it. In fact, this last year, for years, we had an amplifier underneath the stage here that was connected to that speaker. And those of you that have sat right here, there was times where it would just stop working. Can I get an amen from the third row? All right? It would stop working. You go in there, and I thought I would fix it. I would solder things back together. And then over time, it just wouldn't work anymore. I mean, right. We'd be in the middle of a song, and it just... All right, it would stop working. So I had it worked on two times, and finally I just got a new one. Because who likes things that are broke? Nobody likes things that are broke. When you buy something, you want it to function the way that it was designed to function. Throw it out, get rid of it. And looking at this, Jesus doesn't like things that are broke either. In fact, I can prove that to you in Luke chapter 13, verse 6. It says, then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard. And he went to look for fruit on it, but he did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, for 3 years now, I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil? Sir, the man replied, leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down. Jesus is even saying this, if it doesn't function, we don't need it. And there was even things in your life that the way you're doing things now, it's not functioning. You need to do it a different way. Because God's called you to function. He wants you to function. You got to have the unction to function, though. Amen? And that unction comes from the Spirit of God. I got the unction to function. I encourage you to have the same unction. You got to have the unction on the inside of you. If you're not producing fruit, he says, cut it down. And there's a time to start, and right now is time to start producing fruit. Why wait? Right now is better than any other time in your family's life, in your job, as your walk with Christ, start producing fruit. In fact, in your walk with Christ, if you're not doing something, I encourage you to start doing something. Because God said, it's very important that you see this. God forms you, he saved you. He begins to fill you with your spirit, and now it comes a time where you start functioning in the body of Christ. This is something that's told from the very beginning of time. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 4, it says, for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it to our ministering. He who teaches in teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. God formed you so that you could be filled. He filled you so that you could function. And you can't function without being filled, and you can't be filled without being formed. And so God is forming you right now. He fills you with the Spirit of God. It's your due diligence, and it's at a place in your life where you begin to function in the body of Christ. If you're not doing something, I encourage you to do something. Because this is what God tells us from the very beginning. I'm forming you. I begin to fill you. And now it's your job as a believer in Christ to begin to function. As the very first thing that I share with you this morning, John chapter 9, I want you to see something. JD, I'm going to ask you to come to the piano. I'm not going to be much longer. But we see this in John chapter 9, how the blind man, Jesus comes to him. What's he do? He forms the clay. He puts it on the man's eyes. He begins to form eyes in these empty sockets in his head. Then he begins to fill those sockets with eyeballs. He tells him to be obedient. He tells him to be function in your life. Go do something. And he goes and he begins to wash that dirt, wash that clay. And he begins to function. How is he functioning? He's going out and he's sharing with people, yes, I am that person. And the person that did this to me is Jesus. You know, there's lots of you that are in this room. You don't have that boldness on the inside of you. Maybe because you haven't been filled. Or maybe you're being disobedient to what God has already given you. It's very important that you begin to share the love of Christ and you begin to function the way God's called you to function. How many of y'all believe he's forming you this morning? I know he's forming me. You know, I look back over my life. I remember some of the first jobs that I had as a landscaper, working hard. I did straight lines. I did everything that boss told me to do. As I moved up, I had other jobs, just not very many, but I went to work at UPS. If you've never been there before, holy leaping lizards, Batman, they will work you to death. But as a young man, I did everything my supervisor told me to do. I remember unloading those trucks at the best of my ability. I remember being on the football field, giving it my very all. But see, that whole time, God was shaping me. God was forming me. God was, you know, and people ask me all the time, how did you become a horseshoer? I had no idea. If you was asking me, my parents were talking about this the other day. And God has blessed me so much. God's provided for me incredibly through shoeing horses. But if you'd asked me when I was a teenager in high school, what do you want to do when you grow up? That would not even one of them. I didn't even know what that was. A farrier? That sounds a little feminine to me. I don't want to be a farrier. But it was over time. See, God was forming me. And if you don't know this about horseshoeing, I mean, it's hard work. It'll make your kids be born naked, I promise you. Ain't that right? Jared, I mean, it is. It's hard work. But God, that whole time, before I even became a horseshoer, before I even became a minister of the Word of God, God was forming me in my life. But if I'd have made the choice to not let him form me, no telling what I'd be today. He'd have got somebody else to do the things that I'm doing. Filling, I promise you, there's not a day that goes by that I'm not in the Word of God at least once. I love the Word of God. I love it. I don't mean to get emotional on that, but I love the Word of God. Because if it wasn't for that, I promise you, I would be a failure. It makes me who I want to be. It gives me direction. It gives me understanding. God fills me all the time. I listen to a podcast or all these different things daily. I want to be filled because I've learned this and I'm sharing with you this morning. And I hope all of you are getting this. There's at a place in your life where God's either forming you, filling you, or you're functioning. And you need to be doing all three at one time. As you're functioning right now, God's forming you for the next step to be filled with something in your life, and then to the next step of functioning. You're always one step away all the time. God wants to form you. God wants to fill you. God wants you to function the way God's called you to function.
This concludes this message. Thank you for listening. For more information about this ministry, please look us up at www.arenaoflifechurch.org or contact the church office at 806-622-8000.